The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Now take it from a guy who has the ability to put people into emoji jail, which I use, and I will be using it this weekend because one of Angie's friends talks too much.
You know you want me to keep my big mouth shut? Well, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm never going to talk again.
Yeah, right.
What is emoji jail?
You're only allowed to use hand signals. Thumbs up, middle finger, crying, thumbs down, for a half hour.
What do I need to talk for, huh? What, the blab to the neighbors about how George has a new femme Jerry friend? Or to tell everybody at the coffee shop how George is all mixed up in a perverse sexual amalgam of some girl and his best friend?
I would just tell you to go bleep
no,
yourself.
No, she knows because she does not like dead air. I like dead air. When I'm doing something, watching TV, sitting in a bar, people watching, I want dead air.
You're never going to be able to completely stop talking. Jerry, 94% of communication is nonverbal. Watch.
What does this mean?
Well, it's Frank and Estelle's reaction to hearing about George's man love for a DJ.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard.
Good morning, no one is here. Well, actually, Chewy's here, but he must not have been told that no one would be here. The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy show is now Chewy, and Will is the producer. So there are normally four people involved with this show. They're all gone. Chewy, I will give you the opportunity to leave now.
I'm good. You got a lot of colors going on there, Homer. What? You dress in the dark this morning, or
I don't give.
I mean,
one.
It's a good look, but it's a little flashy for you.
I don't
you.
Give one second of thought as to what I'm wearing is going to be seen by people. Should probably take this off.
I have a.
Okay.
You never get too matchy.
I don't match anything.
Where your shoes got to match your shirt?
No, I don't match. I've never matched anything in my life. That means never in my life.
Okay.
I've never given that any thought. I wear this shirt because, I don't know, it fits. And then this is an old MacFun thing, and my wife hates it because it has a big rip kind of in the middle, and she says it makes you look bad. And I'm like, so what?
Do you recycle clothes?
What does recycle mean?
Like, will you wear that shirt like three times before you throw it in the wash?
Oh, no.
Why? Why?
Well, because I'm older and I stink now, and so
that's fair.
Clothes
fair.
Stink. However, when I was in college, I believe I set a trend because I would wear it inside out. So I would wear a shirt normal, and instead of washing it, then I would then the second time wear it inside out, and then I would wash it. I thought,
Are you of the age where you smell like chicken noodle soup?
No, I don't.
You're not there? But you know you will get there because old people smell like chicken noodle soup.
I don't think so, but...
You don't think so?
No, I've never... But I don't have a very good... smell. It's not very strong, so I wouldn't notice what it. I just smell bad.
Okay. Do you search out conversations with like people and youngsters and things like that? Because when I go to the gym, I call it the Sodom and Gomorrah effect.
Okay.
If you make on, because old people want to go to the gym to talk, right? They want to talk.
I will if you say so. I don't go to the gym. So, therefore, I can't say that I go.
So,
I call
it the Sodom and Gomorrah effect where you can't make eye contact with them. If you make eye contact with them, you're done. You'll be there for an extra hour.
No.
You don't experience that at all?
Well, I mean, they can't make me talk to them. You have to have a plan to avoid that. And usually what you say is, how are you doing? Because that is what people say. And then they actually don't want to talk to you. They just, That's how you avoid talking.
No,
how you
I
doing?
Think
yeah, fine. Okay, then you just keep moving, and nobody.
That's the key. That's the key. But if you stop, next question is: so, where are you from?
Well, why would you stop?
You can't. But
yes,
some people
no,
aren't smart enough to know that.
You can. You don't have to stop.
Yes, that's all part of it. It's part of the Sodom and Gomorrah effect. I'm just saying you can't make – if you don't make eye contact with you, they won't say anything to you. Because so I like to go to
you
the
look
gym.
Down, you look down and, on the ground
yes,
or what do you –
yeah, yeah.
Oh, I would see, notice that because they'd say there's a weird guy that's looking down.
Yeah, they I'm sure they call me weird at the gym. But, I mean, the other thing you can do is
you can also nod to people even though you don't want to talk.
No, you'll still get trapped. You'll still get trapped.
Headphones.
Trust me. Headphones.
Yeah.
It's the key.
I don't,
yeah. It's the key.
Oh, no, not that. Well, not the earplugs. Not
any type of headphones. You can
but
just act like you don't hear them.
That is a great answer. That's the answer.
Even if you're not listening to anything.
Yes. They will assume you are.
Yeah.
I do that all the time so people don't talk to me.
Yep.
Do you get that too, Will? Like old people?
No,
I love old people.
It's
just must
be a gym thing because old people, I think, are very short on their words, especially when I talk to them. Like, it's the exact opposite. They do not want to talk to me.
You guys are crazy.
That we've solved this problem. Will just did it.
Maybe
and he's
it's because,
100% yeah. right. You wear headphones, or if you don't want to
you're
wear
right.
the headphones, you wear
you're
the
right.
earplugs because I now, it's more even than phones. I don't think it's people on their phone. It's people with the earplugs on and they're listening to something. So don't waste the time.
Homer, I guarantee people stop you on the street and want to talk Packers.
Once in a while, but I think if I had earplugs,
yeah,
they if I had my headphones, which of course are $2.80 on Temu. Love them. I can find the different earplugs. The ones people use, the Apple ones, don't seem to hold in my ears really well. And so they have like 100 different versions now. So yeah, I like the idea of wearing those. And then I'm going to check it out because I think people will avoid you now.
I think you're right. Because I don't like working out with the phone in my pocket. That was the whole thing. But you're saying I don't even have to be listening to music. Just nothing. Just put the earplugs in my ear.
There's nothing. We should just shut the show down.
It could be the earplugs that people wear when they're like cutting the lawn, too. They don't even have to be playing anything. They don't have to be technical.
You pick the ones that you like to wear, though you're not actually using them.
The second anyone sees anything in your ear, they're not going to talk to you.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good plan. Good plan.
Do you not listen to music at the gym?
No, I don't. I'd like to, but I don't want to carry my phone in my pocket because it always falls out and it's distracting and it's a pain in the neck.
All right, there are other ways you can get
Bluetooth?
The music.
How?
If you have
the
Bluetooth.
The range is too far. If I leave it in a locker.
Well, can't you just like leave it on the ground so it doesn't fall out of your pocket?
Then you leave it. And
yes,
where did
I
put it? I
agree with that. I want to be able to get some music. Don't they have earplugs that have it? There's got to be some now that you don't need your phone if you have Bluetooth.
Some of them have pretty good range.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
I could send you a link.
We just should have Ask Will questions because now he's nailed two of them. One, the earplugs to people don't talk to you. Two, find the ones with the best range. Because, I don't want to.
Yeah.
I want to be able to connect to something with my earplugs that allows me to listen to something. But
okay.
I'm sure it's out there, right? Just a question of how much. You want to spend. Do you have any other questions for Will? Because his answers are better than mine. So,
no, Will, he's pretty hip.
We have the quote of the day, and I believe this will become a historic quote, similar to, if you're old, you remember Sal Bando for saying that Paul Molitor was just a DH.
Yeah.
That was when they didn't sign him, and he ended up going to Toronto. We have athletic director Chris McIntosh.
Oh, boy.
He had a conversation yesterday on ESPN, and the whole conversation will not be remembered historically. This, on the other hand, will.
It's not limited to wins and losses.
Homer, he's just a puppet, though.
Whatever
he's
he
a
is,
puppet.
That's fine. That doesn't change.
Well, he's a puppet. I'll tell you what happened.
Play it again. Let's go.
It's not limited to wins and losses.
Well, it kind of is.
Kind of?
But what happened... What
everything is limited to wins and losses. The reason, as I give credit to, I don't know who said it yesterday, maybe a Ben Bulai, everything is based on wins and losses.
Yes.
As he said, if they were 6-0, would there be this discussion? No. And as I said, if I'm his boss, the chancellor.
Yes.
Because she's the one in charge. She's the one everybody should be talking about, not him.
I totally agree.
Can you imagine if you're the chancellor and you hear this from the athletic director?
It's not limited to wins and losses.
Well, let me tell you why he said it, because he had a meeting with the chancellor, and the chancellor says, A, we're not paying someone $25 million not to work, and then hiring another coach and having to pay them $8 million or whatever the
chancellor,
going rate
I,
is.
Chancellor, I got a question for you.
Yes. Yep.
Has anybody given you information on how much money the university might lose?
She doesn't care, because
doesn't
now it's
care?
It's easy for her to pivot and go, well, this is an institution of higher living.
Yeah, no,
the term is student-athlete. It's not athlete-student. Because let me ask you this, Homer.
They're professionals.
They're losing recruits already to Minnesota and Indiana. So their recruiting class is going to be average at best. And if you had disposable money where you didn't care, are you going to give money for NIL to a program where Luke Fickell is the coach? Ain't happening. Ain't happening. So that's what happened.
Hold
the
on,
chancellor
hold
said.
Hold on, hold on. What if people come to me and say, we had this amount of money. If we get more money, please understand the players will go where the money is the most. So if I have more money, even though our team is not good, we will get more players or better players because they're going to go where the money is.
Where's the money going to come from?
I don't. Well, it comes from.
You think the university is going to give them more money?
The beer sales.
This is the problem. Beer sales.
They're selling beer.
Selling beer. Buy and drink a lot of beer. That probably. The problem, Chewy, is we don't know any of this. Now, it's not even NIL because it's coming from the universities. Now, there is NIL money, but you can now, universities can now pay the players. So you need supporters to mm-hmm. come up with money. There are many, many boosters capable. And I would go, if I was the AD, I'd say, we got a problem here. It's all about money. We got to come up with more money. That'll get us better players, and that will bring the program back to a higher level, and it will do so faster than it ever could have done years before, because you can make your team good immediately, especially when you're as bad as we are, just by having more money to bring in more good players. It's that simple.
So you think people,
but I don't know that they can get that money.
Here's $1 million. Yeah. I'm a booster.
Yeah.
And I want you to keep Luke Fickell as the coach.
I would never
do that in a million years.
You wouldn't, but if you're supportive of the university, you believe in them, they're in a rough stretch. You guys worry about the head coach. I'm gonna help with the amount of money that we need to compete, whoever the coach is.
But why are they in a rough stretch? Tell me why they're in a rough
because
stretch.
Because they hired the wrong coach.
Yeah, well, I will go this far. I don't think the coach has put the work in what is necessary to win in this new Big Ten. Okay? Look, I'm familiar with
Hold
a program.
On, sir.
I'm familiar.
Hold on.
Yes.
Stop for a second. Please, would you let him hear the athletic director? This guy, Chewy, clearly needs to hear this more often.
It's not limited to wins and losses.
Please understand that. Did you hear it? Let me play it again, because I think a lot of times people don't hear it.
It's not limited to wins and losses.
Okay, now go ahead. Go ahead with what your thoughts
What
are.
Would you do? What would you do if you were Chris McIntosh?
What would I do?
Yes.
I'd wait till the end of the season and look
and
at
then
things then.
Can him?
No.
Look at things.
Well,
Homer, they're not going to win another game.
Probably. You're probably right. They're firing coaches all over the place. And it's not like you know who to hire. No one knows who to hire. Because how much is the money involved? Who's available? Do I want an assistant coach? I don't know. It's not like when they hired Barry Alvarez. Like, for example, you might even hire Fitzgerald, who just left Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
He's available, or Frank. So, but you have all these other schools that have fired people already. The whole situation's a mess. There's no reason to rush.
Well, the whole reason.
Oh, I agree. I'm not saying fire him today.
Right.
I'm
well,
saying
I'd,
let him
I'd
finish
look at
out
the end of the year. I think it probably
finish
be,
out
I
the
probably
season.
Would make a change, but I'm saying there's nothing.
Yeah, there's I no mean, rush. But it can yeah. it can be done. I mean, look at
of course
look at
it can be done. Yes.
Look at Cignetti at Indiana. Right. Now, obviously, Mark Cuban helped him out a lot, giving him a ton of money.
I don't know that.
But
you
he's
say.
But he's a grinder. He go look. It's
he's
it
a
is
grinder.
Hard.
Look,
he is a grinder.
No, he brought in good players, and he's a good coach. No different than all the other good coaches.
Should the University of Wisconsin be losing its high school talent in the state?
No.
And they are.
It would appear they are. Again, it's a little different now. If you were Joe Thomas, for example, would you automatically go to Wisconsin? No. Not if Ohio State offers me $3 million instead of one. It's just so hard because, Chewy, we don't know. We don't know any of these numbers. We don't know which of those players. All right, you're the AD. The guy's at whatever, let's say Whitefish Bay or whatever, the best offensive lineman in the state. And you know he's $2 million. I don't got $2 million. Why am I going to recruit him? It's a waste of time. Right?
Well, then you got to get $2 million.
Well, okay, but I'm saying the dynamics are different as to why you might not be recruiting.
Well, let me ask you this, Homer. Why does the University of Iowa spend money and Wisconsin doesn't?
I don't know.
You know how much Iowa's you know how much Iowa's quarterback cost them?
What?
$1 million.
Okay.
You think Wisconsin's paying $1 million for a quarterback?
I have no idea. They may have, and those guys got her. You don't know. Nobody knows.
You can't. They. We don't know how much they're spending
on
NIL.
No, nobody knows. There's some people that have kind of had reports, but even those reports don't talk about players. For example, if I got $10 million, do I want to spend $1 million on a quarterback or spend that money on other positions?
Yes. Well, but you know what the bottom line
what
is?
You need the money.
No, you need the money.
Well, that's
why. Homer.
Hold on.
Homer.
Tell him the bottom line. Tell him the bottom line. All right. The athletic director said it.
It's not limited to wins and losses.
Now, maybe it's just that's what you're saying. It's about money.
Homer, I guarantee you used to laugh at Purdue. You used to laugh at Rutgers.
Yes.
You used to laugh at Maryland.
Didn't
you know who they laugh
at
now? You know who they laugh at now?
Wisconsin.
The University of Wisconsin.
But it can
they
change in a year. This is not.
It can change in a year.
Yes.
But you got to put the work in. You got to put the work in. I know a program where in the offseason they fundraise their ass off, raise a ton of money to give to the kids NIL. Now, I don't know. Does Fickell do that? I don't know.
See, this
you know what you do? You send every one of your coaches and bombard these high schools and make relationships with these coaches so these high school coaches help steer the talent.
No, there's no such thing anymore. You know what steers the tower? What am I going to get?
Yeah. Cashish.
Totally.
Yeah.
Some of that occurs and you try to do it, but let's say it's your son and this guy, oh, he's a great friend. You're going to make $500,000 at one, $250,000 at another. You thinking about who's the coach? Huh?
No, but it kind of parallels. Hold on, Homer. Yes. It kind of parallels Green Bay in the when free agency came around. What did Green Bay had to do?
Right,
they had to overpay.
Right, but
they had to overpay.
The difference
now you
is,
have to overpay if you're Wisconsin.
Maybe.
I'm just saying, where's the money coming from?
We don't know how much money there is. We don't know what other people are spending. We don't know that with the Packers. We know because there's a number out there. There's a salary cap. I'm not using this as a defense. I'm just saying no one knows anything.
Yeah, I know.
We don't
I
know
agree.
What the what they were paying the quarterback. We don't know, as Nick Saban said it, and he's right. Even if you have $5 million or $20 million, you still have to spend it right.
Correct. It's like a GM in football.
Right.
Then let me ask you this. Why do we know that a quarterback at Iowa is paid $1 million? Because Iowa's out there telling them, hey, we're willing to pay good players $1 million. You ever hear that from Wisconsin?
Again,
you ever hear, hey, the D lineman's making 750? No, you don't.
Well, and no, you don't. And then that tells me, well, then is the problem really money or not? We'll get Jason Wilde, and we'll hold on. The AD would like to has one more comment.
It's not limited to wins and losses.
Thanks, AD.
So awesome.
Great player, one of the great offensive linemen. As Sal Bando was a great player, Sam Bando is remembered for one thing. And now Chris McIntosh has his one thing. Jason Wilde next.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
Hey.
Ready, down, put.
All packed. Packers all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Change your grocery game plan to locally owned Century Foods, home of the best meat, freshest produce, and tastiest treats.
It is time for Jason Wilde. Chewy, generally, we would talk about the Packers, but not the case. Could we hear the athletic director again?
It's not limited to wins and losses.
Oh, baby! Guess he's going to be on Wilde and Tauscher. Joining us now is one of the two individuals who were interviewed. What did he say again?
It's not limited to wins and losses.
And I just want to know that I tweeted, those will be the seven words that will live with Chris McIntosh forever. Yes, Jason.
Does Will have that full quote?
Sure.
Because I obviously heard that yesterday when I was on with you and Bulaga. And I have my list of questions ready. And, you know, look, I much prefer it when Mac joins us and we talk about the old days with him playing on the offensive line with old T, and I stress out about
one of the best offensive linemen ever at Wisconsin.
Yeah, and I stress out about non-revenue sports and all that other stuff. But look, I don't say this to be arrogant at all, but like, you know, people joke about me being a Big J journalist. Like, I don't cover wars. I don't cover the White House. I don't cover politics. But when it comes to sports and when tough questions need to be asked, I feel a responsibility to ask them. And I can tell you this, I am not there to pitch softballs. So, I mean, that quote needs to be asked about. And I have a list of other things that I have to ask so I can look at myself in the mirror. And I don't know how, I don't know how this is going to go.
It'll go fine.
Per se. Well, but like, again, you've heard me say this, whether it's like fans get frustrated with LaFleur and they want me to be like combative with him. And my philosophy has always been, look, I'm going to ask the hard questions, but I'm going to ask them in a way that I believe, and I'm not always right, but I believe will elicit an actual answer. And so my concern is not about, you know, oh, I'm going to make Chris McIntosh mad or whatever it's going to be. My concern is, how do I craft my questions so I can get the answers that Badgers fans want, right? Because, for example, when you fire Paul Chryst, who I have very much an affinity for, when I lost my mentor, Tom Mulhern, who had covered the Badgers for a long time, back in 2014. Like, Paul Chryst was fantastic. And quite frankly, even Brett Bielema was. But my point is that my bias for Paul Chryst, I can't allow that to have colored my judgment. Things were going in the wrong direction. But when Chris makes the announcement that he's fired him, he talks about how this is about, you know, we should be competing for championships. You don't have a Big Ten victory this year. that's not competing for championships. So explain to me, besides just money, is it as simple as that? That, like, what? Why has it gone as poorly as it has? It can't purely be financial. And then when he says, you know, there's going to be a greater investment, what is that? Where is that money coming from?
But not only that, like, Jason, like, I'm like, are they – the upgrading of facility of facilities was 10 years ago, okay? When my son played at Michigan mm-hmm. State, kids cared about facilities now, and their facilities are subpar. That indoor facility they have is a complete joke. Did they think that upgrading the facility – all kids care about now in college football is line my pockets.
Yes, they should.
Right. Yes.
That's what they should right.
They don't
about.
Care about facilities anymore. They're like, that's great. Nice weight room. What do you got for me?
Yes. Right. Like, I'm proud
the facilities
of kids.
Thing, the facilities thing is just a baseline, right? That's just,
yes.
That's a given mm-hmm. now. It's baked into the cake, right? I mean, even the Packers, yeah. that new locker room, part of that, was not that the old locker room was so outdated that these poor guys were dressing in, you know, metal corrugated lockers like you once did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was about, hey, we're going to bring free agents in here. We want them to see that we have best-in-class facilities, right? And that's NFL players. Because, yes, paying them is important, but it's the total package. But, yes, it's great that they're building a new football facility and that they knocked down the shell and they didn't really give a damn about the world-class track and field programs that they have. And so they designed a facility that won't be sufficient for them because that's not a revenue sport. Totally get it. Still think it was ridiculous, but that's not what today's conversation is about. My point is that, like, if you're gonna go to Ted Kellner or you're going to go to other wealthier people, obviously not me, even though I'm an alumnus. What exactly are you going to tell them that is going to make them want to invest in a program that has yet to win a Big Ten game this year?
Yeah, I agree.
So I'm
they're supporting the university.
Okay, well, I'd like you to support the Carbone Cancer Center instead.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, then you're not there. Then you're off the list. And in today's football, but actually what Chris McIntosh should do the first thing, before we start, let me just say, I was wrong. It is, in fact, limited to wins and losses. Everything we do is to improve the ability to win more games. So let's just get that out of the way. And I just want everybody to know that what I said was wrong, and this is my quote. But the ability to get better is easier now than it's ever been in terms of how quickly – you can do it because if you have more money, you can get better. For example, the best example I think would probably be Indiana. I don't know the money, but there's no way in the past you could have improved as quickly and as great as Indiana did. I'm not sure any school ever did it.
Yeah.
Not even Barry Alvarez, who went, 1-10 his first year. There was an amount
he
of
did,
time.
And had a losing, right, and right. had lose a losing record in 91 and
so that's what I would tell
well.
All these people. We screwed it up, but you're lucky that we're in an era in which we can improve and get good way, way, way faster than ever before. And it's all about money more than anything else. So more money gives us a chance and will get us better players. And so we can get better faster than even the great Barry Alvarez did. How'd they do? Would that help? You want to go to the cancer center.
I don't know if he's listening. No, but what I'm saying, no, my point is, like, we have the Tom Mulhern Scholarship. Like, I make donations to my alma mater, not nearly as large as Ted Kellner and other, you know, exact sciences people and Epic and whoever else might be involved. I'm just saying, if I am a deep-pocketed booster, I want return on my investment, right? It's not just purely magnanimous, like, If I'm donating to the UW Carbone Cancer Center, yes, I would like to see them continue to make progress toward reducing the risk of cancer. But I don't. It's not as measurable as you just got your ass kicked by Indiana, right? And so my question is just what is your sales pitch to the people that you need to allow you to be able to make these greater financial commitments that you're touting?
Yeah, that'd be a good question. All right, I've got to go to the con because I want to hear Jason Wilde and Mark Chmura talk about the Green Bay Packers.
Jason, I'm gonna put you on the spot here a little bit. I want you to give me two surprises from this year's Packers team, one good and one bad.
The bad one is easy. I did not expect Elgton Jenkins, and I mean, he used the S word to describe how he played earlier this year. But I did not expect the transition to center to go as choppily as it has. And there's still time for him to get to where they need him to be. But, you know, declarations and protection calls seem to have been part of their problem. And that has surprised me. I never thought I'd be saying, boy, I really miss Josh Myers. But in some ways they do. So that's the negative surprise. Their inability to get the run game going consistently as well is another negative surprise. But, you know, from a positive standpoint, you know, the first two games, I was like, oh, my God, these guys are the 85 Bears.
Yeah.
I mean, Homer was given inaccurate scores because the points scored by the Lions and the Commanders were cosmetic at the end. I mean, they were dominant. And that was the good surprise, because I thought they were going to be good, but I didn't know if they'd make a jump. But now they're inconsistent like basically about everything else about this team, right? So even the positive surprise, and they are 5-2-1, and if they win on Monday night, the narrative will change significantly. But as of now, like, their inconsistency has even taken my biggest positive surprise and kind of made it a negative one. How did I do?
That was solid. I agree with everything you said.
Is that what made it solid?
Yes.
Hopefully I'm more than solid in the next hour and a half or so.
Are the Packers going to win Monday? Because Jason has 1 minute left. 1 minute.
No.
Oh, really? I picked them to win.
Does that concern you? Are you okay with it?
Well, hey, look, first of all, save all your angry letters and emails and tweets.
And you care about those just amazes me.
I just don't understand why people get mad when you pick against the team.
Because it's like, about the them. It's not about you. There was a baseball player said that he got a death threat. I've gotten death threats. People wish I had died in the car accident. It's Twitter. It doesn't reflect me. It reflects them. When are they going to tell coaches and players how this works and to not be worried or bothered one iota? They don't get it. Come on.
Yeah, but my point is I appreciate that.
Yes.
And I'm glad you didn't die in the car accident. That was really scary, and I'm glad you're okay.
Thank you. Put it on Twitter.
But if they win, the narrative is reversed, and no one's talking about Carolina anymore.
Yeah.
And the Eagles are a flawed football team too, obviously. So it would be very meaningful for them to get that done. And maybe, you know, Chewy, you know this from your playing days, like when you lose a guy, sometimes there's that first game where everybody kind of is galvanized and they do something that they might not have done if Tucker Kraft hadn't gotten hurt. But I don't see this as like a 96 type deal where you guys lose Robert Brooks and you still go and win a Super Bowl. I don't believe that to be the case. And we'll see what happens on Monday night if that changes my opinion.
All right, you got to go. Bye. Got other things.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wildy Enterprises, he's got somewhere else to go, and it's part of ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Wisconsin Enterprises. So,
how much coffee did you have this morning, homie?
None.
Why?
Because I made it to McDonald's and got a chance to win the Monopoly game.
So you don't drink coffee?
I do. Usually in the morning, I'd be having a coffee with my wife. Yeah. I don't need coffee to get like this.
Really?
No. Not when it comes to these kind of things.
You
Come
got
on.
Good energy. No, you this got is... real good energy.
I know, because it's fun. It's real. There's just so many parts to it. Like the Packers. I like the Packers, even if they lose.
Are you mad at them, though?
No. No.
Why?
Well, I'm mad at LaFleur because that was a bad high school coaching decision on going for it on 4th and 8. But Gary Ellerson's convinced me this is kind of who they are. And now, over the next number of games, you know they can be very good because they've got talent. Now, the question is, how good are they going to be? Are they going to be, like, good but not good enough? But I don't know. They're not like your team in '96. It worked a couple years to get there. They're, I think, trying to start that process this year. This is the first year you had Reggie. Doesn't mean they can equal it. But nobody said the first year Reggie came, you should be going to the winning the Super Bowl.
I just think you have to make hay this year because you're going to be in cap trouble.
All right, hold on. We're going to get more of Chewy because I interrupted and get him. So we're going to break and then Chewy will talk and for 3 minutes and I won't say a word. Next.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
Craig Karmazin will be coming up at 8:35. I think normally he's in this hour, but he's a busy guy. And because he probably wants to see if it's possible that I could shut up for Chewy to talk for 3 minutes about the Green Bay Packers. Do you remember what you said before the break or were in the process of saying?
Give me the Cliff Notes version. I know I was talking about the windows wide open.
Yeah, we were discussing the Packers in the past, and like I said,
okay,
you know, this is nobody. You were there when Reggie first came. It wasn't like the first year. It's like, hey, this is going in the right direction. Players getting better, getting the biggest player in the NFL, and it even took that team primarily because the Cowboys were so good. But
all right, 3 minutes.
Yes, mark, get set, go.
All right. I think, and I disagree with you about Reggie White's first year. I think the window on this team is wide open, and the window can only stay open for 3 years before it starts to shut. Maybe not even that. Maybe two, and then it shuts a little bit, because it kind of felt like Philly's was kind of shutting, but that guy is so aggressive in what he does, it kind of shuts, and then he opens it up halfway through the season. Here's the problem, okay? With Micah Parsons, which was a great addition, Jerry Jones was stupid because what he should have done is keep Parsons and Dak Prescott and not pay CeeDee Lamb. Okay? Parsons is that good. But the problem is with this, he is paid like another quarterback in this league. So you essentially have two players making $100 million a year. Okay? This team has a lot of questions moving forward. The offensive line, Elgton Jenkins isn't going to be back. Sean Ryan ain't going to be back. And Rashid Walker's not going to go back. So that's three guys on the offensive line that you're going to have to fill. The problem is you don't have a first-round pick the next 2 years. Right? Morgan, I think, is pretty good. Belton, I have no idea. No idea. And I think that who's the backup center? Will the Thrill?
Let me look real quick.
The guy that can't play in the cold. You know who I'm talking. Jacob Monk. I don't think he can play. I don't think he can play. So now you're going to have to go out and find a center, right? And I think there's a little element because when the offensive line coach or Stenovich says there's too many mental mistakes on the offensive line and too many missed assignments, that is a joke. That's a joke. And I don't know if Elgton Jenkins has the efforts because they moved him to center and they didn't pay him. They didn't guarantee his salary. Okay, I know this about Frankie Winters Homer. Not the greatest athlete in the world, but that guy knew everything about offensive line play. He directed everyone. He directed Timberman. He directed Marco, who were young players at the time. There were no missed assignments. Okay, so I don't know what's going on there. Now on the defensive side, are you going to pay Rashawn Gary $28 million next year?
Hold on 1 second. Is the 3 minutes up, do you think, Will?
3 minutes is up.
Okay, are you going to pay
him? Really?
The answer is no. Did a nice job.
Yeah.
So now next year, Homer, right, you need a corner probably, okay? You're going to have cap issues because
Micah Parsons is cap friendly right now early on, and now it's just going to get cap worse. So what do you do? You going to stick money into corner? Or are you going to hope a second or a third round pick or a fourth round pick pans out? Then you have Devontae Wyatt. Then you have Quay Walker, who are pretty good players. But, I mean, there's only so much money. That's why I think that this year the window is wide open in the way the season started off. After those first two games, I was sitting there going, wow, this defense could be close to what we were in 96. And then they're not. They just disappear because no one makes plays, right? Micah Parsons, hey, I love you. You're a great player, but you're going to get double teamed all the time, all day long, right? So yeah. That leaves single block players across the line, and no one does anything. So there's my 4 minutes, Homer. That's why I'm
concerned.
That
was good. Now, you gave the window. You said 2 or 3 years. I agree. And I also think that you left out one part, and that is the reason they have a good chance this year is it's clear there's no team that good. It just isn't.
Correct. Yeah, there's no dominant.
Right.
Really, AFC or NFC.
There's no Dallas Cowboys like when you were playing. That was the standard.
And I forgot another part, Homer.
Am I quiet for how long on this one? A minute?
Give me a minute and a half.
Minute and a half.
Start
the clock. We are now starting the clock.
Tucker Kraft. Unbelievable talent. Unbelievable talent. Okay? But here's the deal, right? If he did not get hurt, they would have signed him this offseason. Right? For sure. He would have been in the $20 million range because that's what the top tight end would get. But now they're going to try and Christian Watson him. Okay, and I'll refer to Hockenson in Minnesota that tore his ACL 2 years ago and then came back. Wasn't the same player. Now, he's kind of back to that spot, but Hockenson, so what is Tucker Kraft going to do? Are they going to say, hey, how about $11, $12 million? You know, kind of a Christian Watson thing. And I would be like, go pound sand. No, I'll get back to where I'm at. It might not be next year based upon how Hockenson, it took him a little while, but then they have problems there, you know? You agree with me or no?
You still got 30 seconds.
You still got 30 seconds? I can't speak.
Oh. So I think that's going to be a problem. The receivers, right? Receivers. You got a couple guys coming up. Christian Watson's on for 1 year. You gonna extend him after this next year? Dobbs, what do you do with him? The problem is there's going to be so much cap trouble that they have to go with 13, 14, $12 million receivers because they cannot pay the $28 million for Amon-Ra St. Brown or A.J. Brown or anyone like that. So I'm a little worried.
Are you worried that they're not going to be good, or are you worried they're not going to make the playoffs? Or are you worried they're not going to take advantage of this season?
I'm picking them to win, Homer. Philadelphia
this week.
Okay, yes. Well that's fine, but that's
I'm picking
just...
them to win. Now I will know halfway through the first whether they come out flat and there's no juice, which happens when you lose one of the best players on the team.
And my follow-up, do we need a break? We probably do. We always need a break.
We don't care about the clock on this.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. When you're the B team, you got to care about this stuff.
Oh, okay.
Speak right. for yourself.
Yeah, you don't.
When have
you
ever cared
remember.
About the clock? When have you ever cared about the clock?
It's not my show. I'm a B teamer here. I got to take care of it. I want to hope I get to come back. You have no idea what it's like being on the Packers worrying whether you're going to get cut. You're the famous Mark Chimura. There's some guy sitting in the end going,
You're taking care of someone's plants right now. You got to water them.
Yeah, and I have some dog questions for you. Aren't you a dog person?
I can't stand dogs.
Yeah, but you've dealt with issues with dogs, right? Like taking care of them, all that kind of stuff. All right, but we'll save that in the 8 o'clock hour. But anyway, good stuff on the Packers. Next.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN.
This is the B Team with Chewy. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, everybody's gone. I'm the B Team. Will's the B Team. Chewy apparently wasn't told or he'd have taken the day off. If I were you, I would have. Did they tell you no one else was going to be here?
I just grind. That doesn't matter. Huh?
What about a question don't you understand? I'll repeat it again. Did they tell you everybody else was not going to be here? Yes or no, sir?
Yesterday afternoon.
Okay. And you didn't give any thought to not showing up because you're a grinder. Now that makes sense. As far as
no, I adapt to you. This is I consider this did now you, your show. You drive the bus. Whoever's driving the bus,
you know
it's
who
their
was filling
show.
In? Did they tell you that
yeah.
they? Okay.
Uncle Homer.
All right. And did they
and
tell Will you
Will? And Will the Thrill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will's going to be a star one day. Just remember. I hope he remembers us.
Yeah, if he doesn't smoke any more ciggies.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. What? If he doesn't, he smokes?
I do not smoke. Don't listen to him.
I didn't think
Did I get you in trouble?
No, well. Not in trouble. You just lied. He doesn't smoke. He might smoke marijuana. We don't know that. I thought we were talking cigarettes. Do I
That's
think he smokes
We are talking
marijuana?
Cigarettes, all right?
I think
we are talking.
I believe he has smoked marijuana, but I don't think he does it on a regular basis. But I have no
Will,
idea. I just made that
Will,
up. But
I do not
just,
smoke marijuana.
How old
have
are you,
you
Will?
Ever smoked marijuana in your life?
Potentially. I plead the fifth.
See, Homer, I just got him in a little trouble.
No, you didn't.
Now you got him in a lot of trouble because his mother's listening to the show.
Your mom should know that or assume that every kid has smoked marijuana. My mom found I had a marijuana pipe. I smoked marijuana like twice when I was a freshman at Wisconsin. And my mom found it in my room like 5 years later. And she goes, oh, you smoked hashishish? She didn't even know what it was called.
Homer, I can't even mentally picture you high on marijuana.
I was very disappointed in it. It did make me a little hungry, but it took away my competitive drive, and so I stopped it immediately. Like, I lost a
Probably
tennis
a smart
match.
Move.
But I didn't enjoy it that much to begin with. Anyway, all right, we got to take this. Just want to let you know and to see if you are like the odds makers. What do you believe is the percentage chance that the Packers make the playoffs? Just make the playoffs. What percentage would you take? Because I'm like 98. Yes.
Are we coming back and doing this or what?
No. We're going to do this quickly. You're just picking a number. I want to know your numbers.
I would say, based upon the loss to Carolina, 74%.
All right. The odds makers say 85%. What do you believe is the percentage chance that the Packers win the division?
Slim to none.
That's not a percentage, sure.
35%.
35. The odds makers say 57%. Clearly, they believe in the Packers more than you do. Now, what do you believe is the chance that the Packers get, not win, get to the NFC Championship game?
27%.
They are at 13%.
Oh, wow.
So
that's
odds makers say,
off.
Yeah, they're going to make the playoffs, but when they play good teams, they're going down. Whew. Odds makers, 85% make the playoffs, 57% win the division, 13% to get to the NFC Championship game. I did not look in any further than that, given that we're already down to 12.5%. Craig Carmazin, Mo, minority owner of the Milwaukee Bucks in the next hour, along with more Chewy and the B-Team next.